Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is a Thursday. It is 12 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we welcome you all to the program this morning. Let me introduce everybody. Before we do, just give you a sense of what's going on this morning. Of course, we are expecting the release of the Barr report at the Mueller report at some point. We already got the Barr summary. At some point this morning. Expected between about 11 and 12 to go to Congress, and then when it's actually made public will be at some point later. However, the Attorney General Barr will be, will be having a press conference about the Mueller report in about 16 minutes and 49 seconds, according to the countdown clock that is being provided to us by CNN. However, we're going to talk about what's going on up until then. We are expecting that he will be late because they almost always are. And then we'll go to the Attorney General coming out. The press conference is going to include questions, but is expected to go for about 20 to 30 minutes. So we will have something there. And then we'll come back, in theory, and talk more about what we heard. And then hopefully we'll go on with the rest of the show.
Joe, last night, the president.
There you go.
Something wrong here?
No.
Apparently, the president announced that Barr would come on to his thing and that he might also give a press conference afterwards. Will we do that one?
Well, we don't know. He has not. If he is doing that, he mentioned that on a local radio station in Washington. And then no one knew about that. So there is no report about that because, again, both of these, and this, we can start the discussion right now. Well, let me introduce everybody and then we'll start the discussion. But the issue is, what do you have a press conference about if you don't actually release the report yet? Nobody's had a chance to see it. So there's that. So we have WAMC's Alan Chartok, the voice you just heard. Good morning, Alan.
Yo, Joe.
Robert Griffin is here, founding dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, wonderful to have you back. What a day.
Thank you.
And Vice President of Editorial Development for the New York Press Association, Judy Patrick. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Joe.
Announce your special guest that you brought.
I have dragged my sister, Jennifer, down with me. We're headed to North Carolina later today, and we're starting our road trip from here. Anybody
Excellent.
Else want to go?
Oh,
yeah.
I'd like love to go.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. You kids are fun. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good
to see you. And Vera Carias-Kelly joins us. She's the Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. Okay. So I think a lot of this is, all right, but Jerry Nadler had a press conference, a hastily arranged press conference last night, and said, "Hey, why are you doing this? Why are you controlling the narrative? What are you doing? You've obviously had a lot of talks with the White House about what's in the report. You're now going to have a press conference before anybody else sees the report at 9:30, and then you're not going to make it public until 11 o'clock. Why are you doing that?" And I guess we sort of know the answer to that, right?
He's a toady. I mean, you know, after all, what else am I going to tell you? He's a shill for the president. When he was up before the Senate for confirmation, you wouldn't have thunk it. He had a lot of gravitas, and you thought maybe he would do the job he was supposed to do, which is to be the attorney general as opposed to the president's lawyer. Reminded me of Devin Nunes
in the bushes,
down there passing stuff on. Now, one of the things that the Times reports, God bless them, is that there have been, and I said so in my commentary yesterday, I simply didn't believe it was possible that they hadn't transmitted all this stuff to the White House already. And of course, they've been doing it for days. It now turns out, and good job on the Times part.
And I guess, I mean, tactically, why wouldn't they, right? I mean, I guess it just makes sense that if you have the Justice Department with the report for days and days and days, that they are going to report some of the findings to the president to get his legal team ready to respond in whatever way they can respond.
But they're highfalutin responses to this. It's, oh, we wouldn't do that. We haven't done that. The big tip-off was the moment when he was asked about it and Barr, and he wouldn't answer the question.
Right.
So that means we got it. We understand it.
It's pretty smart on their part, though, if you think about it. I mean, they get to frame exactly where they want to be and explain a methodology before anybody can actually really ask them the in-depth questions. It's I actually need to tip my hat to them and think that it's actually a smart move on their part.
Well, you know, you're terrific, but I won't tip my hat to these guys who are doing this obvious manipulation of the news and nonsense. And I think it may bite them in the rear, in the posterior. Well, put a different way, in the hiney, for having tried to do this and get over on the American people. I think people are wise to it.
So, yeah. Alan, I think you're. And I'm sorry. I'll real quick.
Is it hiney that you didn't like? No.
No. Although, I mean, I think they got to be careful because their head's there anyway. But Ooh. This is the issue of propaganda versus information. And one theme that I think we may see today is that nothing looks quite like collusion, like incompetence.
So ideally, this is how it should have gone down with the press. Whenever there's a big report, what happens? This is a classic case for a good case for an embargo. You release the report to the reporters, and you embargo it for release at 11 o'clock. Most journalists will honor the embargo. That will give everybody a chance to go through it, to read it, and to not make these hasty recommendations. That's how it typically works.
Now, and what I have heard that in the past of such reports of confidence, they will put the reporters in a room, they will hand them the report, they will give them an hour, a half hour, whatever, then they will have the press conference talking about it, and that way you at least have somebody on the same page.
In a sane world, that's how it works.
In a sane world. All
yes.
right.
So what I suspect now is, depending on what Barr says, then reporters take very detailed notes on what he asserts, and then they go hunting, right, as soon as something is available. And then we don't really get a full interpretation like you would if you were in a space to actually study the report, but then it'll be sort of this, let's see if he can prove Barr right or Barr wrong. And I think that will misinform the general public once again. And then we have this sort of hacking by, this bipartisan hacking, which has been going on for a long time. So
if there was any good news that came out last night about this, there was a story in the Washington Post about that the report. Now, I don't know who is defining this, but the report was lightly redacted. It was not heavily redacted. It was lightly redacted. Now, I don't know if that came from Barr's office, then obviously, what their definition of light may be different than the press's definition of light. But if that is true, that is somewhat good, that we'll get more than we expected.
Well, Barr has the tiger by the tail here. It can turn around and it can just snap his head off, and he knows it. And so that you can see that they're doing some things to lighten the load. For example, there was a spate of reports, we're going to actually give everything to the Gang of Eight, the top intelligence people in the Congress, so that they can see it. Obviously, that wasn't going to be done in the beginning, but they saw how angry the American people were.
So I have actually a question that I wanted to think about some more. Why would Barr be actually afraid or nervous about the president? Because really, he's had his career. So if he gets fired, whatever. I mean, I'm not really quite clear on that. Is it personal accomplishment? I mean, he could at some point just say something that the president doesn't like.
Alan?
If he had integrity, which he doesn't.
I don't know if that's entirely true.
I want to find out. I'm pretty sure of that. He had the job. Once the fickle finger of fame lands on you, it's very hard to be out of that limelight.
So, Alan, I think you're on to exactly. Yeah. There's a malaise over D.C., and it's about power. And once you're addicted to that power and being in those positions and being important and being driven around, that you really are addicted to it, and you will do anything to hold on to it.
I think it should be added too that the guy is a supporter. He's a supporter of the president. I mean, he believes this stuff, right?
He might, except for
at least he did in the days which got him the job.
Yes,
I mean, that's one of the reasons that got him the job.
But, I mean, in essence, I always wonder, you know, there's so much humiliation involved. And I'm wondering, at what point do you actually decide this fame is not worth it, but you're just sort of moving on, you've had your career, you've actually made a difference in your mind, and now you just, I mean, at some point, everybody who works for Trump gets a beating, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look what happened with Tillerson and you look what happened with Mattis and people actually really respect.
Well, Kelly,
Kelly, you'd hate to.
Well, I never liked him.
You know, but you look at it and you think, okay, you know, if he did it to them, what is he going to do to me? But that doesn't mean that there aren't people that are absolutely lined up wishing that they could get his attention.
But you know, everybody thinks they could win the lottery.
Right.
You know, the story on Barr before he got the appointment was that he was a lawyer's lawyer, that he had, you know, he wasn't going to kowtow to the president because he had lived his career and he wasn't going to give up any of his integrity. I mean, those stories were all over the place.
How long did that last?
Yeah, it did not last
long. It didn't last enough. So I'm like, wow.
Yeah. So let's talk about our friend Jerry Nadler here, who is is accusing the attorney general of trying to protect the president and bake in the narrative to the benefit of the White House by holding this press conference. He had asked for the late last night, had asked for the press conference to be canceled. He said the attorney general appears to be waging a media campaign on behalf of the president, the very subject of the investigation at the heart of the Mueller report, rather than letting the facts speak for themselves. Nadler noted that Barr's decision to characterize the report in public remarks runs counter to what Barr said after he released a 4-page letter detailing the principal conclusions of Mueller's 400-page report last month. Barr had defended that action by saying it wouldn't be in the public's interest for him to summarize the entire thing. Nadler said that after the committee has had time to review and analyze the redacted report, he's likely to ask Mueller and others on the special counsel's team to testify. And there, that brings me to my question of, my goodness, A, could that happen? B, what would that be like?
And why isn't Mueller at the press conference today? It seemed like an ideal place for him
to be. Yeah, we have Barr and Rosenstein. Maybe Mueller doesn't want to be standing right next to Barr.
Maybe, indeed. Exactly right, Vera. You know, I know Nadler. I grew up on the West Side and had to do with him and all like that. And I have to tell you, he's a very ambitious man. But the one thing I can say is he did not do anything other than what he should have been doing or saying here. He was right on the money. You know, he just summarized it. I'm sure they did staff work, and I'm sure they knew what to say. But, you know, I had a lot of admiration for what he said last night.
So, in essence, if Barr is in the process of providing a narrative, then Nadler's job is to provide the counter-narrative. I mean, that's exactly his job then.
That's right, but some people do it better than others, and he's been doing it well.
It's also, my question is, you know, if you bake in the narrative, as they say about Barr, who's taking a bite of that cake? It's only the same people that already believe that Trump is right.
I think it's really important for the press to behave responsibly in the next few hours, to not jump to conclusions, to not get it wrong, to take their time, and to offer a fair narrative of what is in the report.
And Judy, you know, on the media project this week, as you know, because you were on it and I was on it, we talk a little bit about the herding instinct. And the herding instinct means that people get together, reporters get together, they get in a room, and now they throw the copy of this thing on everybody's desk, and all of a sudden you hear some guy from the third row yell out, "Here it is, page 54." So there's a certain amount of commonality on this, and you worry about that the guy who yelled out or the woman who yelled out, "Here it is," may have gotten it wrong and let everybody on.
Right. There was criticism that the media got the coverage of the initial Barr letter wrong, that they jumped to too many conclusions quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at all the convictions, you could ask yourself how. The only correction I'd say, though, is that Nadler's about oversight, not about a counter-narrative, because that just becomes a propaganda versus propaganda.
Isn't that what we are doing at the moment, it's a propaganda war.
But right now, what you see is that Congress is pretty much, elements of Congress have given up their constitutional fiduciary responsibilities because, frankly, they and a lot of others, I think, are more concerned about Trump's collapse than they are about the national collapse.
Now, I will just remind everyone, we're waiting for the Attorney General to take to the podium. We are going to go to that live as soon as it happens. I'm looking at the CNN countdown clock, which says 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Huh. We expect he'll be late, usually is late, so we will talk up to that, and then Michael, let me know when we're ready to go, and we'll go on over. So, with that in mind, and given that we have a few moments, is what can if there's no report, and there is a press conference, and as I said, they're expecting it to be about 20 to 30 minutes in length with questions. So, Judy, what do you ask if you don't know what's in the report?
Well, so he is supposed to explain the process by which he made all the redactions. And so he'll probably spend a lot of time telling you that this color redaction means this. And there's four different reasons for the redaction. So he'll spend a considerable amount of time explaining the redactions. What kind of questions? I think the reporters are going to ask questions. Why are you holding this press conference now? Why aren't you holding a press conference tonight when we can actually ask you some legitimate questions?
He's going to get beaten up.
Why aren't the investigators with you? I mean, he may be trying to describe the process, but he could have done that in a one-sheet bullet set of bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have taken fewer than four pages to do that, that's for sure.
Yeah. It could have been easily posted on the website, right?
Yeah.
Take a look here.
Just have a little bit of a tutorial on how to do that. All right.
Maybe he's trying to reassert his authority. Maybe he was a little embarrassed about the coverage from his four-page memo release, and now he can sort of reassert his position as Attorney General. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if we are surprised by his conduct, if we think he's doing if he's protecting the White House, or if he in fact trying to liberate himself a little bit and reassert his independence.
Now, before we go over, the other thing that I would like to talk about real quick is that we learned through a court filing, the Justice Department plans to provide key members of Congress with a more complete version of Robert Mueller's report than what will be made public today. That's what prosecutors told a federal judge on Wednesday. They described the plan to provide non-public material to Congress, where Democratic lawmakers have been pushing to receive an unredacted version of the report, in a court filing made Wednesday in the case against Trump confidant Roger Stone. So,
well, Joe, I think what's happened here is that they are so embarrassed about the way this is all playing out that this is, and it goes to Vera's point, I think, in terms of, this is a guy who has his limits, this attorney general, in terms of the kinds of things that I'm saying, for example, about him, that he's a toady or that he's this or that. He thinks this is his way out of it, to share with the so-called Gang of Eight this information.
So the information about Roger Stone's case will be redacted, for example. This is an example of an ongoing criminal investigation. That is not considered fair to put that out in the public sphere at this point. Anybody want to take bets on whether or not the president's going to have a press conference today? My money's on it.
We'll experience Twitter hell. That's all I can say.
Well, press conference, Judy, as you know all too well, having done this so well for so long, a press conference means that you take questions. This is not a guy who's going to want to take these questions and lie and do all of that stuff. So his press conference will be his Twitter.
Well, and if he does, usually what he does is he'll come into a room and then he just sort of takes it over and you're there for 2 hours, right? I mean, those are the press conferences that we've seen. There's nothing typical about his press conferences, or the other thing is that he'll be standing outside of a helicopter and screaming at the press, which is often what happens as well.
And then he can't hear anything because of the questions.
Well,
it's just selective
hearing, Vera. Let's be
careful. I mean, that's what I mean. It's staged, of course. I think we see Kellyanne today.
Oh, you think they set out the troops?
Yes.
Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway?
I actually don't think you see much of Sarah because I don't think she's as sharp on her feet as Conway is. So I think you're going to see a lot more Conway than you're going to see.
Conway has 24/7 practice with her husband.
George Conway last night was raising the question of why isn't Mueller going to be at the press conference? Mm-hmm. And Preet Bharara said, that is standard procedure to have the investigator stand alongside the attorney
unless
general.
Unless the investigator is not all that interested in standing beside Barr.
In a perfect world, and let me just go around while we were waiting for the attorney general. In a perfect world, what do we find out today? What do we learn? What do we see in this report that have been the question mark since the beginning of this investigation?
For me, I'd like to better understand what the scope is. I mean, how large was the scope of the investigation? What pushed Mueller and his team to look at what they did? Because I'm still not sure how big this really is. And so really understanding what that role is, and then also understanding, I made the flippant comment about collusion and incompetence. What is just incompetence versus, something that I think we need to look more deeply at?
We got a 2-minute warning that the attorney general will be coming out in under 2 minutes. Alan, you have a couple letters in front of you.
I just want to mention, apropos of what you are saying.
Yes, the question.
That when you're on the subway station, and there's a sign up there and tells you how many minutes it will take for the train to come in the station.
Yes.
So it always says, for example, 2 minutes, right? But then 6 minutes later, it still says two minutes.
Yes, we'll see, right?
So there you are. Letters. Barr loves the whole nation, not to mention the 24-hour news cycle is hanging on his every word. And that's from R.
Yeah, might be true. He's very interested. But, it's never good to compete for media attention with Harry Trump. That's a very dangerous operation.
Nor, you had the president yelling yesterday about what a wonderful man he was, unlike, certain other attorney general. That lasts about 2.5 minutes if he goes off the track. And Keith says, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that a Trump nominee would go before the Senate and lie during a confirmation hearing, parenthesis, tongue-in-cheek. Trump is on pace to tell his 10,000th lie falsehood next month. The rot starts at the top.
All right. He is going to the podium, and here we go.
Here
we go. 2 minutes.
Okay, we just heard from the Attorney General, William Barr, talking to the press before the release of the redacted Mueller report, and we were told that it would only be about 20 to 30 minutes. It was about 23 minutes, and what we're going to do is we have to make up some, we have to do a legal ID, we're going to do some underwriting, and then we're going to come back and we'll go around. We have our whole panel still here. They were listening to all that, and they have a lot to say. So we'll get to that right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to a special edition of the WAMC Roundtable panel. Let me just reintroduce all of our panelists. We have WAMC's Alan Chartok. Robert Griffin is here, founding dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. Siena College professor of comparative politics, Vera Acarius-Kelly, and vice president of editorial development for the New York Press Association, Judy Patrick, all joining us. So we just heard from U.S. Attorney General William Barr saying that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report did not find any collusion between the Russian government and Donald Trump's campaign in Moscow's attempts to influence the 2016 election. Speaking at the press conference, Barr said he and Deputy Attorney Rod Rosenstein have determined that Trump's actions pertaining to the investigation did not amount to obstruction of justice. Barr said he and Rosenstein based that on their review of Mueller's findings. Barr says a redacted version of Mueller's report will be sent to congressional leaders at 11 o'clock this morning, followed by a public release later today. Barr said he would not oppose Mueller testifying before Congress, and he also said that Trump did not exert executive privilege over any information in Mueller's report. So that is the quick summation. Alan, we'll go to you.
Well, first of all, this is a bunch of nonsense. It is clear if he showed anything today, he showed that he is the president's lawyer. We do know that there's been sharing of material between the White House, the New York Times has reported that, and the Justice Department. And I tell you, listening to it, I had the definite feeling that the White House had a hand in writing this response by the Attorney General. Then he said some things that really bothered me. For example, he said the one thing that they really couldn't do away with is the grand jury and make public to the Gang of Eight, in other words, the people in the Congress, was the grand jury testimony. And yet they found a way to do that in Watergate. They found a way to go and say, okay, we want an exemption here. They got their exemption, and it happened. So it's a bunch of baloney. And I think what happens in these things is as people sit and say, well, that sounds reasonable. It always does, because that's why he did it. That's why he got out in front of it. Sooner or later, and it's much sooner usually, the folks who are very bright, the reporters who have been covering it for The Times and The Washington Post, they find all of the holes in this thing, and we're going to be hearing about them very quickly.
You know, this is exactly why you need to give the public and the press the report before you have the press conference. Mm-hmm. We're all in a haze. We don't know whether what he was saying was accurate or not. As a citizen, I challenge him to have a press conference at 5 o'clock this afternoon. He clearly doesn't like to answer hard questions. He gets annoyed.
He obfuscates. He doesn't really respond to questions he doesn't like. I mean, this is amazing. He should really come back this afternoon. I agree with you, Pat. Judy. Sorry.
Pat Judy. If you, but the other thing too is, how is this different, Robert, than what he did last or 2 weeks ago when he sent out the preliminary report?
Well, what he did is he just gave all of the president's supporters all of the talking points that they need for the rest of the week on this report.
Interesting.
You know, it was an oily production. I actually feel like I need to take a shower after watching that. I find it's interesting that he says this is unprecedented, you know, and he's worried about the president's feelings, you know. And I think back about this president, what he did with the whole birther movement, and I don't think anybody was concerned about President Obama's feelings. All of a sudden, we have this sort of new and gentler Department of Justice. Ten examples of obstruction of justice. I thought that was really interesting, and I'm looking forward to reading what those are. I fully expect that there's going to be some dark splotches on those pages that we're particularly interested in. And, you know, I come back to something I don't want to get lost in the emotion of the moment. He came out, the Attorney General of the United States just came out and he said the Russians interfered in our elections. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before everybody goes taking a victory lap and the president gets on there and talks about the Democrats and this was a witch hunt, this wasn't a witch hunt. And what we really need to start to figure out is how do we protect our systems and what do we do in reprisal back for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
they
threaten our democracy.
Yes, but also we know that the Russians had a candidate. The candidate was Trump.
Absolutely.
I didn't hear that in any of the stuff that he said today. Not only that, we do know he met with some Russians and some other people, the president of the United States, and said, I just fired Comey, right? I just fired Comey. That should put an end to this, quote, Russian thing. Well, if that isn't a compromising thing for him to have said, then I don't think anything is.
I can't disagree with you. And you know, I'm also interested to see where's the line between Trump campaign involvement and Trump organization involvement,
right,
which is a whole nother question that I'll be interested when I finally get my hands on the peon report that's going to come out. Because we as citizens, obviously, can't be trusted with
you know, it's fascinating. I'm sorry, but you know, it's fascinating. The Congress has been furious that this thing has not been released to them. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden they're making a concession, which is now he's done his thing. They're going to give it to the Congress, and then an hour or two later they're going to give it to the American people. I think that's to cover their behinds.
You know, they talked a lot about the president's intent, whether he had criminal intent or not. Well, how do they know what his intent was? Because they never talked to him.
That's another point, Judy.
I mean, the whole question about him fully participating,
yes,
that
exactly.
The White House engaged in a free and open exchange with the Mueller team. I mean, I don't know. Somehow I missed that part. He didn't testify. He just had legalese responses to some basic responses to questions. I mean, I was just stunned by that assertion, actually.
I think that's a great point, Vera.
Yeah, and Vern, to follow up on that, too, is that he sent out a series of tweets that was, in my mind, chilled anybody in administration from actually actively cooperating with it. So, I mean, there's a lot here that needs to be unpacked, but I really do feel like what we just saw was the Attorney General for the United States, who's supposed to be our chief law enforcement officer, acting as a junior Giuliani, and it was really it was really disheartening.
We do have some letters. We welcome yours. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm sure it's a lot, so lay it on us.
It's a lot, so keep them short.
Panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, Paul writes, Barr, how did the comments about the president's feeling frustrated and angry about the probe as he attempted to do his job creep into Barr's comments? Wow, what an apologist. Of course, there was no point in Barr speaking now in the first place, and that's from Paul. And then Bob says, by focusing on collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia instead of investigating the GOP's suppression of black and brown votes, the Dems have given Trump a huge gift and have pretty much handed him his re-election in 2020. Bob from Schenectady. Anybody disagree with that as I do? I don't think anybody's handed anything to him. And in fact, I think, let's see what the reporters
do. Yeah, actually, I think this press conference doesn't shift anything in terms of the election. I mean, you can tell that most people are sort of anticipated Barr saying something defensive of the White House. So I don't think any shift is happening here in terms of voting preferences.
High panel says, Jill, between the four-page summary and what's coming out today, if Barr really has made unnecessary redactions or given shady, parenthesis, or downright false information about the report, couldn't Mueller simply step up and hold his own press conference or just speak and clarify or tell the truth about his report? Why would Mueller have to be subpoenaed to, quote, correct the record? I think his reputation would be at stake.
So the subpoena actually is a good thing for Mueller, I think, because it then he has a legal right to answer questions. Mm-hmm. Right now he is still a Department of Justice employee,
exactly.
So that there are constraints on what and when and, mm-hmm. and where he can speak. So the subpoena actually is to me is it could let him be much more truthful.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we are all presuming that Mueller is the good guy here. Right? I mean, everybody is saying, okay, Mueller's a good guy, and if he's allowed to speak, he'll speak. But I hate to be the naysayer here, but he was chosen for a reason.
Right.
And so that is of concern to me, even though it is going to be an unpopular position.
And you know, Alan, I'm sorry, if I could just on that, if you think about it, he was appointed by the guy standing right behind Barr, too.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we like to say this was that the angry Democrats are doing this, This was the Sessions Department of Justice who appointed him, and it was the Deputy Attorney General under the Trump administration.
And so John writes to us, Barr is an ideologue. He cares more about advancing the United. I'm so sorry. He cares more about advancing the unitary executive theory. Parenthesis movement than our democracy or even his own reputation, and that's from Pat in Catskill.
So one of the thoughts I was having is, all these legal experts and investigators that worked with the Mueller team. Now they have left those positions. They're pursuing other jobs outside of the Department of Justice. As a journalist, I would be really interested in a couple of days to have conversations with several of those members and get their perspectives. And I think that might actually shed some light on how the process really worked, how they developed those theories about, what particular cases they selected to look at the president's conduct. I think the most interesting interviews will be coming out in the next few weeks, perhaps even months.
And these were supposed to be like pit bull lawyers who were, the best and the brightest were working on Mueller's team. I don't know what kind of rules they're under in terms of what they can say and when they can say it, but I would imagine that at some point the floodgates will open up on them.
Well, that's a great point. We heard that a couple of days after Barr's preliminary summary was released, that there were many members of the Mueller team that were saying that this was being misinterpreted and this was not was not what was in the report. So, yeah, when do those floodgates go?
Right. And I think they will open up because these people are very concerned about their personal reputations. As I mean, their names are known. Who, you know, all the members of the Mueller team, they're recorded forever in history. And so I think they're going to be highly defensive if, in fact, they believe their report and their interpretations have been mischaracterized by this administration. So I think if that's the case, we will see the floodgates open within the next few weeks.
The biggest get in journalism would be Bob Mueller.
Of course.
He will probably eventually turn up on 60 Minutes, is my guess.
You would think. I mean, he is sort of moving towards retirement, right?
So the literacy rate in America is fairly high. And so I think people have a great deal of reading to do ahead of them.
And actually think people read this?
Well, you know, I want to warn people to be prepared to be disappointed by the redactions. Yeah. I think they will be substantial.
It'll be very difficult to figure out what these pages actually say unless you can sort of, with your prior experience, fill in the blanks.
And that will be the new game in Washington in the days to come. But redactions,
fill in the blanks.
I've been disappointed by reports so often that have been just filled with redactions. And again, the grand jury testimony, that is a substantial amount. Remember, that grand jury met for, what, 2 years? There's a lot of grand jury information that will be blacked out or colored or some other color because it's color-coded.
Bob, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, we could move on.
Okay. All right. Well, so we're expecting the report to be released at 11 o'clock to the Congress, and then we'll get it later in the day. And so if we speculated prior to this, of whether the president would have a press conference.
Has he tweeted yet?
He will. He's going to say,
I'm checking now.
I know Kim Kardashian.
He's
going to
say, great job, Bill. Great
exactly.
job.
Exactly. I mean, he's going to confirm the excellent job his attorney general has done. Yeah.
In Witch Hunt. Well, I'm sure we'll hear Witch Hunt several times today.
And no collusion.
Collusion, delusion, and you'll see that on campaign materials going forward in the next cycle.
He printed a Game of Thrones, no collusion, no obstruction for the haters and the radical left Democrats.
Game over. Okay. Here we go. Well, the game ain't quite over yet, is it now?
It's a copyright violation, but yeah. just to get back for any aspiring attorneys out
the
there from HBO.
Now more than ever, what journalists can do is going to be the whole game. More than ever, the best and the brightest in the journalistic community will do everything they can, including all the leaks they're going to get from here and there and put up. So we'll just have to sit tight. The reason the president's putting that Game of Thrones nonsense up there and the reason Barr went out early is to try to set the narrative. And we think, and people will think, oh, that's too bad. That's the way it is. But I don't think so.
Also, not for nothing, the president said Attorney General William Barr's press conference today at 9:30. Watch on Fox. Watch on Fox News.
I bet they had it on C-SPAN.
Yeah, well, I think they had it on other networks, like ours, for example.
Well, he's in trouble with the Fox people right now, because when Bernie came on, he criticized Fox as, quote, our network or whatever. That's what this is about. So now this is a little makeup ball with Fox.
And I know I run the risk of repeating myself, but again, before everybody celebrates or mourns this, the Attorney General of the United States just came out and said the Russians absolutely were knee-deep, neck-deep in our election. And we can't lose sight of the fact that they manipulated an election. Whether you like the outcome or not, they manipulated the election, and we got to look forward about what's happening in 2020, but there's got to be more coming on than just this.
And to get Trump elected, I mean, that was absent from the narrative this morning. The second piece, which really bothered me, was the idea about how the president had been so cooperative with the special counsel. No, he wasn't. Let's face it, they wanted to get him on the record. They wanted him up there, and he wouldn't do it. Now, that's not cooperative.
The other thing about the Russian effort was to not get Hillary Clinton elected.
That's right.
And that was more of a motivator, I think, for them than electing Trump.
Salud.
Excuse me.
Salud.
One more. I apologize. All right, lots of letters. We'll go to those.
Okay, here we go very quickly.
All right.
All right, AG report. I predict that due to the lack of transparency so far and the impending continuation of the, quote, cover-up to come, the non-redacted version to the committees will be leaked. And that's from Mark. And Sandra says, Barr news conference. Two quick thoughts. Barr consistently referred to the Russian government. Are there extra governmental entities that acted here in behalf of Russian interests? How does the U.S. deal with these entities? Since the Russian influence clearly favored the Trump candidacy, with or without collusion, how do we react to this? The Russians seem to have gotten the result that they were willing to weigh in on, a point we have made a couple of times.
Yeah, and the sweeping comment about Americans not involved with the Russians I thought was odd, given everything that we've seen through the court process.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how they came up with that conclusion.
I keep coming back to this president walking out and saying on television and saying to the Russians that day, I put a stop to this Russian thing. I just fired Comey. I mean, what more do you need than that? Okay, so Naomi says, good morning, panel. The Barr performance was intended for the third of the country who voted for Trump.
Yep.
And who listened to the right-wing media. No matter what is revealed now, only Barr's obfuscation will be remembered and believed. I don't think that's true. No, I think what's going to happen is this is going to open the door now. The reporters will do their thing. The Nadlers and all the other guys will do what they have to. No, I don't believe it, but I believe the first part of this is true.
But, you know, I think there's a true point here that it will not shift. The base, right? The base will support Trump under all circumstances. Nothing will change, with or without evidence.
Including killing somebody on Fifth Avenue.
Apparently.
Maybe he said that.
Yes.
Silence. Good morning. It remains to be seen. But to me, the silence of the American people on this constitutional crisis is deafening. And that's from Maureen.
That's a good point.
And right? Sorry.
I mean, that's a good point, right? I mean, people should be. You were always talking about going out in the streets with pots and pans. Well, if this.
Where are they?
Right. Where are they?
Joseph says, bah. Good morning, panel. Wow, if any political science professor ever in future needs an example of political manipulation, who's just visited on us in living color. What a fine example of an employee kissing up to the boss. That was a disheartening display, and the idea that Mr. Trump has any deep personal beliefs about justice or anything besides himself is laughable to the least.
So that's one of my concerns, that the feeling from a lot of people is that the system is fixed. And what happens then is that has a chilling effect on people's willingness to participate in the democratic process. And that really worries me about elections, participation.
Yeah. Well, that's the best interpretation. The worst is that people are lazy, they care about their immediate issues, and they don't care that much about politics or the impending fascism of this country.
I think that's... You know, I mean, I talk with a lot of young people, and one of the key things that they always say is, you know, even if we participate, does our voice really count? I mean, they really believe that those in political positions have not listened to younger generations. And that's also part of this entire attack campaign against some of the younger, in particular younger women that have been elected to higher office. Young people in general believe that they are not being considered as serious constituents in this country, and I think that has to be something that is revisited.
But Vera, the problem with this theory, and I certainly understand what you're saying, is that young people don't go out and vote. So, you know, on the one, it gets to be very circular in nature. You don't go out to vote, you don't participate, and then you say nobody's listening to us. And then Robert Bob says, the panel is a bit delusional. Although there are many holes in this official story coming from the White House, it's a little embarrassing to hear the panel shifting the goalposts in real time. It beggars, and it's what it says, it beggars belief that Bob Mueller, a longtime friend of Barr, would allow Barr to simply lie for months to the American people. Time to admit there was no collusion and move on to issues that actually matter.
Okay, so if that's true... then why not just release the report?
Right.
Then why not just put it out? Why not set it, even if you set out the summary and then you put out the report, even if there's parts redacted, but you just sent it out. Why all of this? And that's what I don't understand. If that is true, and I would like it to be true, then put it out.
So I'd argue that we didn't move the goalpost, that the game was changed. And again, there are multiple elements of this that we still don't know.
Right.
The whole issue of obstruction, the number of counts of potential obstruction, the idea of this Russian influence. You know, this isn't going to go away anytime soon, because it isn't just about Trump and his immediate campaign. It's a broader issue about what's happened with this country. So I don't think that the goalposts have been moved. I really don't.
One of the most frustrating parts of that press conference for me was when the reporter asked asked Barr to explain his different legal interpretation from Mueller, and Barr referred them to the report, which they don't have.
Right.
What good is that? That good is not answering the question
he just
in real time.
Obviously, didn't want to respond to this question because he knows there might be some serious criticism coming, and that's why we will not see him for another press conference, because he doesn't really want to have a press conference. He just wants to talk at the American people, and he does not want to respond to difficult questions.
And for that listener, I mean, my thing is, you know, if you really believe that everything that was just told you, trust but verify. Read the report yourself and come up to your own conclusions. But just don't take that word of what you just saw in the last 20 minutes as gospel. But also don't throw stones at everybody else who are asking the hard questions.
Mary Alice says, Barr's comments. At the end of the press conference, Barr said it was the prosecutor's job to determine if the alleged actions are a crime or not. Isn't it a prosecutor's job to decide whether there's enough evidence to charge someone with a crime? It seems he thinks it's his job because to decide guilty or not guilty. But wouldn't that be the job of the courts? Mary Alice, yeah. And Jonathan says, will the complete Mueller report with grand jury testimony, et cetera, ever be available to American historians and scholars? And how many years will pass before this is the case?
If I remember correctly from the presidential libraries, it's after everybody has already passed.
That's that correct. So it might be a while.
So we'll but be keeping
we will,
people on life
we
support.
Will have, we will have access at some point.
Kirsten Gillibrand put out this statement. Attorney General's, and I'm reading this because it seems to be the overall Democratic response, which is Attorney General Barr's preemptive press conference today was a complete farce and an embarrassing display of propaganda on behalf of President Trump. Attorney General Barr works for the American people, not the President of the United States. Congress must get the full unredacted Mueller report, and the American people deserve to know its full findings, because nobody, especially not the President of the United States, is immune from accountability, which is sort of a summation of what we were just saying.
And while you're at it, Joe, CNN is reporting that the president's lawyers reviewed redacted Mueller report earlier this week. Surprise!
Yeah, well, that had been reported. We had heard reports of that last night.
Times did it.
And so I just don't know.
Right. Barr said it didn't happen. There was no collaboration, earlier discussion, all of that. So it seems like that's not even exactly clear how, you know, we have no apparent sharing ahead of time, but we do. It's very murky, to say the least.
And Seth said to the panel, I think the big question is, regardless of his involvement in it, why didn't the president want to investigate Russia's involvement in our election? Isn't that also a concern?
Amen. Absolutely.
Because we have another election coming up, and we are very concerned about what the next step is here.
And Justin said, Barr report, are the Democrats going to continue to be a dog with a bone in this? I'm a Democrat, and this is getting exhausting.
Yep.
We now treat politics like football. Fact after fact, we trust our feelings instead of facts. We need to scour the report, and if there is nothing incriminating, move on. If no crime with Russia, then we shouldn't pursue obstruction. It is a pathetic plan B, says Justin.
All right. We are out of time. My thanks to the panel. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being with us on this very important morning. Obviously, we'll be covering this throughout the day. Stay tuned to WAMC and go online to see our coverage, WAMC.org. We will continue right after this short break.